occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Tell me,
do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
Get to people. Who you gonna turn to? Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Get to people.
Stop it,
tell people.
Show some love for yourself, people. Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you. Leave you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed will never come to feel what you need. What you really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness can never get used to.
Get to people.
What are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell no, it don't.
Get to people.
Who you gonna turn to?
Who you gonna turn to?
Listen, people. You better take a look at yourself, yeah.
Talking to my people,
but you just don't see
what you're living
at. Living like you're living,
living like you're living.
Caught up in the make-believe,
lost in your dream.
Get to people,
stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it, y'all.
Talking to my people, yeah.
Take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you. Leave you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances are the shortfalls of greed will never come to feel what you need. When what you really want inside can only come.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, Let us all.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning. Excuse me. African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. It's the middle of the week. It's hump day. Got to get over the hump. Got to get over the hump. And you will. Yep. Hope you got a good, hope the weather's accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to get done, it must get done. It will get done because you'll do it. Appreciate you. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Well, once again, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. The drop down, you'll see. Excuse me. African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled, thanks to my good brother, my engineer, Brother Kwaku. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. We have this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times I'm going to give are Eastern times. Our Story every Monday and Wednesday this evening at 7, from 7 to 9. Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny out of New Orleans. Tomorrow from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club from 8 to 10. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, it's Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benn Harbor, Michigan. Following that program, at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening, once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening on Sunday. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. The Inya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Baba Baruti will be my guest. He puts together the Inya Sesim, two volumes. I've had them since he produced them, and I've been reading them on this program every day that I have a program. And many times when I'm not on the air, I will go back and do a program simply reading the Inya Sesim, because it's, the quotes are good, they're thoughtful, but the narrative is deep. So here we are, July 22nd. Dress me up for battle when all I want is peace. Half of us are satisfied, half of us in need. And nation after nation turning into beast. Oh, when will there be a harvest for the world? The Isley Brothers. I too have a dream. I too have been taught that it is important to love all of God's creatures, all of life. But I also have been taught that to love someone does not necessitate liking that someone. Even many families living in Europe culture have learned that they must sometimes sacrifice a diseased family member in order to save the family, or sacrifice a diseased body part in order to save the body. I also have the dream that Africans will soon realize that they are indeed Africans. I see signs to that effect. And if Africans are returning to their true, uncontaminated roots and not some hyphenated diseased ones, I suspect that the time for bloodshed and tears may have only just begun. One way or the other, in my dream, we will be free. We will win, family. Affirm the possibilities of bloodshed and tears do not deter me from dreaming of a loving humanity. Ashe. Affirm the possibility of bloodshed and tears do not deter me from dreaming of a loving humanity. July 23rd. If they came and get your men at night, they will be back in the morning for your women. If they come, I said came, I apologize. If they come and get your man at night, they will be back in the morning for your women. A kind proverb. The steadily increasing incarceration of African girls and women only tells part of the story of the racist institutionalized assault against sisters. In an effort to reproduce its ancient traditions today and give the illusion of correcting for the sexism of its patriarchal anti-female society and socializing context, European culture has been busy convincing our children that their sex is irrelevant in terms of the behavior that they should model. The result of the moves to eradicate gender differences to create a comfortably sexually perverted world for Europeans is a socialized drive among girls and women to be boys and men so they can gain the power and privilege almost exclusively associated with being male. In our daughters, this shift in orientation has manifested itself, has manifested itself in an increased violent aggressiveness and homosexuality. In our sons, an effeminized homosexuality emerges, changing from possessing the potential to be the man Western society most fears into the powerless males, desperately in need of protection by white males. In a strict, invictus, sexually charged, hierarchical, arranged society, our daughters see males as the most valued and powerful individuals in a society where most extreme aggressors are the most rewarded. And having studied this predatory prey game, they have concluded that they must be even more aggressive than those they seek to overtake. Affirm, they will not get our men and women or our sons and daughters. Ashe, ashe. Affirm, they will not get our men and women or our sons and daughters. No. No, family, they won't. We fight. We fight. Man, I tell you. It's a good day today, fam. It's always a good day. The sun rose. Well, actually, the earth turns. The sun is still. the sun is right there, but the earth turns. And once again, the earth turns on this side of the world for daylight and morning and a new day. And I've awakened to that new day, and hope that you have too. And you're ready to do your best on this day for making the necessary changes that you need to make personally or the changes that we need to make collectively. Hope that happens. So. What are we going to do today? That's right. It's a yo show day. That's right, family. Whatever is on your mind. Whatever you want to talk about, whatever you have, whatever you see in society that needs to be looked at or discussed. I don't know, man. I tell you, what's happening provides a lot of material to be discussed, no doubt about it. You know, this. In fact, I'm going to do that. The sister Stacy Patton, I love this sister.
in her commentaries. And the other ones too, but she seems to be, you know, she seems to be swinging. And she throwing haymakers. She just ain't jabbing. She following up with a right hand, left hook, uppercut. Man, you see that move? Right hand, left hook, uppercut. Man. So why are we paying taxes? Necropolitics in America means paying taxes to a government digging our graves. You know, and you got to pay it. And this, I've seen things over the internet. You know, there's no law that says you have to pay taxes, but I would say this, you know, tell Wesley Snipes that. Tell some other folks that, you know. And I know some people have done that successfully, you know. But this is their system. And in fact, that's how they want to do it. Then that's how they're going to do it. And the point being consistently with this program is this is theirs, not ours. So let's get out of here. Let's work to get out of here. Let us change the mindset of our people. If they watched, I know there's a lot of things that used to be us and controlled by us. I guess it never really was, but it's definitely not us. Like BET, that's not us. You know, a lot of things we thought was us is not us. And of course, they want us to be neutered in this society. Yeah, yes, right. They really do. They effeminize us. And emasculate the sisters and feminize the men. This is a terrible damn place for us. And yet, we don't run nothing. People who come here, come in our community. I never seen it more clear than when I was in Baltimore. And I love Baltimore. But I never seen it more clear when I was in Baltimore many years ago. And in this strip mall deep in the Baltimore community. And all the stores were run by Koreans and Arabs. You know, they had a number of things. In fact, I bought some food at the one restaurant, Soul Food, by Koreans. And it's one of those places where you can order how much you want and it's weighed. And then you get your bill. So if you come in with a serious appetite, you'll pay more. But it's run by Koreans. Food's okay, you know. Liquor store, supermarket, all the things that were in there in our community, not us. And we can't sell anything in others' community. We can't go into the suburbs or in a community known to be European Jew and establish a store. We're zoned out of everywhere except in our community if we can afford to make that happen. And in our community, when we can't afford to make that happen, many of our people don't support us. So it's crazy, man. You know, I don't know what happens in some of the other cities, but I believe that it's the same because I've been around, fortunately. You know, I remember stores when I was a kid that used to be run by European Jews in my neighborhood in Milwaukee. And then we got them. But not long after that, we let him go. The only one that's still hanging around is Mr. Wade was on 20th and Galena, moved on the northwest side with where a number of our people had moved. That was our moving up direction. Kept going north, and they moved out on 14th and Keefe. And I still think the Wades have it. And there's a few other ones that might still be around. You know. But few. I don't know about your community, you know, and what's happening in your community. But I can venture to say it's almost the same, because that's how it is. We're a targeted consumer group. You know, we work for whoever we work for, pay our taxes, pay our bills, you know, and whatever discretionary income that we may have. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm somber for family on that particular piece. But let me read this. This is, once again, and you can check her out at Substack Family. Okay, Substack.com. Go to Substack, S-U-B-S-T-A-C-K. Substack. And you can subscribe to Substack and choose some of the people who they have on their lineup, such as Dr. Stacy Patton and others, this brother Khalil Green, and many others. And some other liberals, you know, Glenn Kirshner. Yeah, I used to play him, listen to him, since the first Trump administration. And he was sure that this wouldn't happen. Yeah, well, this is their system. If they want it to happen, it'll happen. The Trump administration has cut more than 36 federal agencies and programs that provide essential services in public health, education, science, disaster relief, environmental protection, global diplomacy, consumer safety, and civil rights. This administration is undermining the very infrastructure taxpayers fund to keep the country safe, informed, and functioning. And for what exactly? A rough estimate of savings totaling just about $2 billion. This represents pennies in the context of the federal budget, but it is a catastrophe. It's catastrophic in human costs. So I've been wondering, what exactly are we paying taxes for? Tell me something. If the government is gutting disaster relief, slashing education, choking off science research, firing health workers, and killing off programs that serve veterans, children, and the environment, excuse me, family, what the hell are we funding? Because it damn sure ain't the public good. We're still handing over money every paycheck, every grocery run, every gallon of gas, only to watch that money funnel into tax breaks for billionaires, military toys, and corporate subsidies, while essential services keep getting axed. How is it that we're still expected to fund a government that's actively dismembering itself limb by limb, agency by agency, while claiming it is in the name of efficiency or fiscal responsibility? What kind of democracy demands obedience from taxpayers but offers nothing in return but layoffs, deregulation, and disaster? Fiscal responsibility is the GOP's favorite euphemism for killing people. The anatomy of cruelty. What we're seeing isn't random slashing. Nah, it's strategic. And don't get it twisted. Many of the programs being gutted are the ones that provide a lifeline to American Africans, brown people, poor people, disabled, and the working class communities. For example, it is not an accident that the Department of Education's civil rights arm is being hollowed out. Already, schools with racist punishment practices. She has discipline. I don't use the word discipline when I know they mean punishment. Already, schools with racist punishment practices are operating with impunity, suspending American African children at three times the rate of their Caucasian peers. Now, these schools are essentially unregulated playgrounds for systematic abuse. They're cutting Title I funds, teacher equity programs, DEI initiatives, federal grants that help low-income students get to college, everything that might give American African or person of color child, I don't like that either term either, a fighting chance to thrive is being systematically defunded. This isn't about efficiency. It is about control. It is about keeping these kids in their place, ignorant, dependent, and disposable. Environmental cuts are vital. Environmental cuts are environmental violence. Environmental cuts are death warrants. When the Trump administration gutted the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, eliminated climate resilient programs, and slashed funding for air and water quality monitoring, they were drawing a red line through the lives of our communities, of our poor communities, surrounded by eco hazards. Communities are already the ones breathing the most polluted air, drinking from poisonous pipes, and living in flood zones with crumbling infrastructure. The administration didn't just ignore this reality, they intensified it. They stripped funding from the very programs designed to protect us. Lead remediation, Superfund cleanups, air quality enforcements, water testing, all of it decimated. Jesus. This isn't incompetence. This is policy. They know damn well that American African children in cities like Flint and Jackson are already showing signs of lead poisoning and saying, let them drink death. They know that asthma rates in American African communities are through the roof and choosing to let fossil fuel corporations regulate themselves. They know that rural, poor American African communities are drowning in raw sewage and still revoking consent decrees that promised to fix it just because they had a DEI label on them. This isn't budget management. This is environmental violence. This is the slow motion genocide dressed up as fiscal discipline. When the government defunds clean air and water protections, it's not saving money. It's choosing to get who gets to breathe. It's choosing who gets to breathe. Then there's health care. Then there's health care. This is the battlefield where American racism puts on scrubs. Under Trump, health care wasn't just cut. It was butchered. Medicare and Medicaid were slashed by trillions. The Affordable Health Care Act was gutted. The CDC saw nearly half its budget evaporate. And the Office of Civil Rights at the Department of Health and Human Services are being starved into irrelevance. The Office of Civil Rights is supposed to ensure that hospitals don't discriminate, that American African women aren't left to hemorrhage in labor, that trans people aren't denied life-saving care, that disabled people aren't warehoused and ignored. So why would an administration that thrives on cruelty keeps that office alive? They wouldn't, and they didn't. Because this is the same administration that led a pandemic rip through the American African and brown communities while denying the science, mocking the dead, telling people to drink bleach, and then blaming us for our own deaths. This is the same regime that said if you don't have a job, you don't deserve health care. That Medicaid should come with a work requirement, even in communities where jobs don't exist. That access to care is a reward for productivity, not human right. Let me cut right here. Because I know you probably know already, family. All, damn near all of the Western countries or countries who are, you know, first world, if you want to use that term. All those countries had affordable health care. All of them. All those countries have affordable health care. But United States didn't want to give the citizens, all of its citizens, in other countries, in Canada, in Europe, Japan, they have affordable health care for all of its citizens. But United States says no. And you know why? Because they didn't want to give it to us. So they don't give a damn if some Caucasians suffered too because they were poor. Because America has the best health care money can buy. America has the best health care money can buy. There are some seriously dynamic institutions here that Europeans and other people come to. Cleveland Clinic, Mayo Clinic, Johns Hopkins. America has the best health care money can buy. But it does not have universal health care. And you will surely pay. I love that Frederick Douglass quote, huh? You may not get all you pay for, but you shall surely pay for all you get. Always remember that, family, in America. You may not get all you pay for. That's for damn sure. But damn it, you will surely pay for all you get. That's why America does not have a universal health care. Because they did not want. In fact, the notion was by denying us health care, we would start to die off. This was a plan. And then maybe when we die off enough, and maybe if some Negroes left, we can institute a universal health care then. No, because, yeah, we didn't die. We multiplied, and we will multiply more. But they made sure what's happening. How can we, the youngest population, I can see European numbers going down because they have been experiencing negative population growth for a few decades. But us, our population growth in the United States particularly is stagnant. One die, one is born. One die, one is born. But globally, we're going to have the youngest population. That's why I'm saying, family, our time is coming. But don't be patient. Make it happen. Make it happen. Every health care cut is a racist calculation. American African folks die from every disease at higher rates. Diabetes, hypertension, cancer, maternal mortality. Not because we're biologically inferior, because you know we're not. But because the system is built to deny us care. We are forced to navigate racist doctors, underfunded clinics, insurance we can't afford, and hospitals that don't exist in our zip codes. And now the government answer to this public health crises is to pull the plug on institutions meant to fix it. Cutting health care for the most vulnerable while padding military and police budgets isn't austerity. It's using policy to let people die. And just like always, American African death is the baseline America is willing to accept, of course, and encourage. What we're witnessing in the current political moment is a necropolitics in full bloom, ruling through slow death and neglect. Terms like efficiency or streamlining government mask a violent calculated and calculus that decides American African and other communities aren't worth the investment. You dismantle education, healthcare, housing, public media, environmental justice, scientific research, and you guarantee that people living at social margins will suffer first and worse. Cutting the National Institutes of Health, cutting Centers for Disease Control, cutting all of these agencies, NSF, NOAA, and of course, NASA science budgets by 40 to 55% isn't a rational cost-saving measure. It's a deliberate downgrading of capacity to respond to pandemics, climate disasters, and emergency health threats. That decision forces communities of color to pay the price when crises hit. Yet, they funded the system for one day. And yet they funded the system from day one. This ain't nothing new. We've seen this shit before. At least American African people have. Consider this historically, American African have always paid taxes into a government that neglects or harms us. From Reconstruction through Jim Crow, from redlining to mass incarceration, it has been the same story. Now, federal budget policy enforces that trauma at the scale. Tax money goes in, American African communities lose out. Austerity is always sold as a cleanup act, but in practice, it means drawing a new death map. Survive this becomes the norm for schools, hospitals, environmental protections. The administration's skinny budget sets work requirements on Medicaid and punishes immigrants. These are the strategies to make survival in itself a battlefield. If you are poor, undocumented, transgender, disabled, or American African, then you are excluded. That's necropolitical design. Yes, cruelty is the point. Very cruel. The tough line of all of this is cruelty. It is not incidental. It's the core feature. This is about making American African people suffer. It's about ensuring that they remain poor, uneducated, unhealthy, and voiceless. If you die because you couldn't get insulin, that's not a glitch in the system. That means the plan worked. If your child never learns to read because their schools have no books or teachers or heat, that was the goal. Every cut is a moral decision, and this administration has made it clear who they believe deserves to live with dignity and who deserves to die quietly. Why are we still forking over hard-earned money to a government that's gutting the very services we need to survive? We pay for border walls while our children drink lead. We pay for F-35 fighter jets while rural hospitals shudder. We pay for ICE raids while our elders die on waiting lists. We pay for drone strikes while babies in Mississippi die from untreated RSV. We pay for oil subsidies while wildfires smoke chokes our lung. We pay for tax cuts for millionaires while people ration insulin. We pay for war after war while mothers bleed out in maternity wards with no OBGYN. There's no OBGYN, obstetrician gynecologist, for 200 miles. Why are we paying into a system that funds our own erasure? What kind of democracy robs its people blind and calls it patriotism? We are funding our own oppression. Again, we are paying taxes to be ignored, exploited, poisoned, and silently killed. This isn't about civic duty anymore. This is about extraction. We give and give and give, and then return. We give death. We are given death. Yeah. American Africans, especially, have always known this truth. Our tax dollars built schools we were banned from attending, funded neighborhoods we weren't allowed to live in, paid the salaries of police who beat the hell out of us and killed us, funded wars we died in, only to come home and be denied a loan, a job, a vote, and lynched. And now, under the administration, we're being told once again that we must sacrifice even more, that our communities must bear the brunt of cuts made in the name of efficiency, that we should smile and wave as they dismember the last protections we had left. Man, I'm over here fuming, family. And it's not just American Africans anymore. It's happening at scale. Poor folks, working class families, immigrants, disabled people, rural communities, the gay community, everyone on the margins is being fed into the same machinery that American African people have been crushed by for centuries. The system that was perfected on us is now being deployed everywhere. The system that was perfected on us is being deployed everywhere. It's time to ask loudly and without apology. So why are we paying taxes? Because if this is what we're funding, starvation, abandonment, and slow death, she says, we deserve better. Or we deserve to stop funding it. I agree. You know, she said, we do better. No, you get what they think you deserve. That's the deal. Yeah. Period. That's what's happening. And yet, we think that the society. That's why, family, I'm saying. That's why we must have an exodus. You can surely see that they don't give a damn about us or anybody else, meaning their people. They don't. And to appeal to them and to appeal to a political party within this system is ridiculous. The plan for getting our ass up out of here should begin right now, right today. I know it's a Yo Show Friday, and believe me, it is your show. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll do that. But let me add this piece before we go to a break. It must be done. It can be done. There's no doubt. Let me say that right off the jump. It can be done. But the reality is it must be done. Because either we do this, just like the model of this program. This program promotes individualism. Excuse me. This program. Man, threw me off, didn't it? Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. No, that's them. Ours is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Pan-Africanism or perish. Unify or die. Let me deal with the unify or die piece. Specifically at this moment, if we do not unify, we are truly going to die. You can see that. None of this shit will be happening to us had we developed a functional unity even in this system. But this system doesn't perpetuate that. It perpetuates individualism, so it's going to be hard to do that, isn't it? Yes. And somebody, I don't understand. Well, damn it, you don't understand the dynamics. That's why I listened to Frances last night, Frances Cresswell, and some of her presentations, and trying to help us understand racism, white supremacy, which, of course, racism, you know, is a fallacy because there is no such thing as a race. There are cultures. There's no such thing as a race. Now, many people want to disagree with that, and they can. You disagree with me or anything, you know. And I'm not even asking if you have a better idea. I'm just going to say that's what it is. Or that's not what it is, because there is no such thing as race. But of course, Europeans, Caucasians, white people devised and created the concept of race, and you can go look it up, go on your Google and put in Johann Blumenbach or Carol Linnaeus and these people in the 1400s. Coming up with these ideas of race, giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. Yeah. Race. Mm-hmm. They come up with this idea of race. In fact, I was listening to this one of the things, I don't know if it was sent to me through Instagram. I don't know if it was sent to me through Instagram or what. I know there's some good stuff on Malcolm Jamal Warner. Man, seeing that brother at the park, I think it was either Malcolm X or Marcus Garvey. That maybe it was Malcolm X, Malcolm and Jamal Warner, last year. You know, outstanding presentation, playing his guitar, singing, did some poetry, came out with the people. Beautiful man, beautiful young brother. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I can't find that. I can't find it, but really deep piece on that. And this Caucasian, once again, the Caucasian that always talks about we never done nothing. You know, justifying our captivity, justifying, you know, putting us in taking our whatever, you know. It's crazy. But listen, family. This is what we must do. I would hope that some collective leadership outside of the politics of this society, I mean serious, a serious call for brothers and sisters to meet, strategize, plan, and implement an educational process outside of the public schools that you send your kids to, or more schools that are African-centered, you know, like what Baba Baruti's has at Ackerman Institute and many others that are here in the Atlanta area. And these schools be coordinated with a syllabus that says, this is what we be talking about. This is what we be talking about. It's just like, I even proposed that for a weekend piece for us. Just like I said, you know, the Baptist church, every Sunday, they have Sunday school, you know? And in the Baptist church, this is the lesson on this Sunday. In all of the Baptist churches, this is what they're going to be studying. And to me, in all of our study groups, this is what we're going to be studying. We're all going to be on that same page. We're all going to be able to grow and unify and pull our resources and so forth. That's what we're going to do to get the up out of here. Making those connections with brothers and sisters in the diaspora, brothers and sisters on the continent. This is the move we must make. Quit begging these son of a bitches. They don't give a damn. And for those who want to, go ahead. I already know that there's a small fraction of us who want to do this. Because the majority of our people, unfortunately, buy into the bullshit of this society. We always have. Because we've been trained to hate ourselves. We've been trained. I hate these son of a bitches for what they have done to us. Why we can't look at each other with respect and be willing to work with each other and trust each other and support one another. This is a hell of an environment. Well, listen, I'm going to try to play some funk. That's what I need to do. Yeah. There's some music that'll just, yeah, that's right, family. Some music that'll get your ass up. Yeah. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. I want to hear what you got to say. This is a Yo Show Wednesday. We don't have too many. When I look back at my many times, there's very, very few of a Yo Show or open mic, those kind of things on a Wednesday. It's usually a Monday or a Friday. And most times, I bet it's a Friday. But it's a Yo Show today, okay? Okay, family, I want you to participate. And so, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take this break and we'll be right back, and you stay with us, family. All right? Okay.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you. sister Bruce, won't you come back home? Won't you come back? Please, won't you come back?
Thank you. You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah. Mr. Groove, one way. Yeah, that's in one way. That's funky. Yeah. And the other one was Velocity, the rhythm. Give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. What you want to talk about, man? You want to talk about the information I just put out there? Which is some emotional information, of course. Because you paying taxes, you paying all this money. You know, it's interesting, man. You pay taxes on the money, and it's now it's yours. And if you do something with it, you got to pay taxes on that and taxes on And I know there's some people who claim that, you know, there's nothing says that you have to pay income taxes. But you pay property taxes, sales taxes, tax. And believe me, I understand. If people in the society have money. Man. But there are things that have to happen in a society to make the society run efficiently. And I don't mind paying fair share of taxes to make that happen. To make that happen. But the way it's meted out and way things are happening, no, Brother Irv, what's happening? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing fantastic, Baboshi. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Baboshi, you're so emotional.
Yeah, I am.
And I believe that, I truly believe, Baboshi, the more you educate yourself on who you are, where you're from, it becomes emotional because we are spiritual people. Yeah. And being a spiritual people, emotions are involved. And I think that's why religion can be weaponized against us, because it is emotional. Mm-hmm. And there is no, and a lot of times, Baboshi, there is no logic in emotions that we can understand, but there is logic in emotions. I mean, I don't cry just because I feel like crying. I cry because something has emotionally struck a nerve with me, went into that place that I don't go often. Because, Baboshi, think about it. We're basically the only people that still live without oppressor. Mm-hmm. Why don't we leave our oppressor? How is the oppressor managed to convince us that we need to stay here with them, because one day they're going to level the playing field? One day they're going to stop moving the goalposts. Mm-hmm. Because Baba Oshie, it was a time where Black people couldn't afford to buy things like a fur coat or big cars. As soon as we're able to acquire those things, the goalposts moved. Mm-hmm. Before, you know, you wanted to get a Cadillac. Now people want a Bentley. You get a Bentley, now they want a Maybach. Mm-hmm. And these are all things that Caucasians have made us believe are things we have to have.
Right.
Things that give us status. You know, the first thing a man does when he gets some money is he wants all the women. And then the first thing a woman does when she gets some money is, I don't need no man.
That's right.
What?
Yeah, really.
And that's interesting, because that is a learned behavior. Mm-hmm. Now, I listened to someone say the other day that they were going to give out. They're going to turn down the school system, and they're going to get rid of the boy education. Well, hell, the education system ain't been teaching our children for years. They've never taught our children. I learned more once I got out of school than I've ever learned in school.
That's right.
But what I did learn in school, I learned how this society operates, the foundation I need to even maneuver throughout this society. But they're talking about vouchers now. Now, we need to, as a people, we need to look at vouchers and see, can we make this work for us? Can we start our own schools? Can we teach our own children? We already realize that Caucasian women can't teach black boys nothing. Because the child doesn't respect them, and right. The teacher doesn't respect the child.
Right.
And you said it earlier. If you can sit here and teach me about Jesus Christ every Sunday, because you don't open on Wednesday, then you can also teach me about my blackness, my black spirituality, because anything that has to do with blackness is bad, is evil, is dark, it's something that you don't want to, it's voodoo. That was the word that the Caucasian used when he saw us jumping around and he couldn't understand how we had so much rhythm and we were on beat and they didn't understand that. It's voodoo. Something must be wrong with you. You're not like me, so you're wrong. And that's not true. And Baba Oshie, what they're doing now is, I have a high school diploma, Baba Oshie. I am not a PhD or SOB or all the letters that go with all that foolishness, because it was the same PhD. The guy that told me that a man can wear a dress, so I don't have a whole lot of respect for a lot of these letters behind your name. Talk to me. But my point is, if I can figure out what's going on with this administration, I know the people who study this and live this can figure it out, the congressmen and the senators, because they're on board with it. Because I would have shut this whole thing down before I let you do what you're doing to my grandmother, taking her Social Security. I would have shut this whole thing down before I let you take 17 million people off of Medicaid who now got to choose between eating and blood pressure medicine. I would have shut the whole thing. No, because if you shut it down, then that senator, that Democratic senator, doesn't get his health care because he's not on Medicaid.
Right.
Let's keep it 100. They're not on Medicaid.
Right. They have a different plan.
They don't have to worry about losing. Come
more
on now.
Lucrative but it's plan of health care.
You need to suffer. We have to make you suffer. As long as you're suffering, you won't push back on me, because the government that is in now, and the one before, and the one before that, are in bed with the corporation. And who is the corporation? The corporation is white men. They're white men who you don't see their faces. They're the puppet masters. They're the kingmakers. You don't see Warren Buffett behind a table talking about get out the vote. You don't see... You don't see Bezos behind a table saying, get out the vote. You see black people behind a table saying, get out the vote. You see the NAACP, you know what that means. Negroes always asking Caucasians for permission. That's what you see. Come on. That's what you see behind the table. Because we've been conditioned to believe that if we just stay here, if we, like anything else, the thing that this administration is doing right now, Baba Oshie, is they're being redundant. In other words, if I just keep saying the same thing, now that I saw news, and it's always egregious, more egregious, you're not getting money if you don't change your name back to the Redskins. We're not going to, come on now.
I know, man.
And now wait a minute, Baba Oshie, they're talking about changing the name of the Kennedy Center to name it after Melania. Do you know that they're doing these things so that they can...
Wait a minute. They're changing the name of what center?
The Kennedy Center.
The Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts? Named after...
Melania
Trump? Are these people... I just gone from the ridiculous to the sublime. This is crazy, man. You know?
Hey, but Baba Oshie, guess what we're doing? We're talking about it. And what is it that they want you not to talk about? We don't want you to talk about Epstein. What did you talk about Melania? I didn't give a damn about Melania. See, this is what this, and I saw, they tell you what they're going to do. Oh, yeah, listen to them. They said, we're going to inundate them with a nonstop news of they think is news, things we want them to think about. Mm-hmm. So we just keep pushing every day in something. If it ain't that, it's Rosie O'Donnell. If it ain't going, stupid stuff. Mm-hmm. If it ain't Rosie O'Donnell, it's something, because that way you don't look at that what you want. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about SC because your best friend was a pedophile. Mm. So that means you were abusing children.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that because that's the one thing. And what and Bob, what you think about what these people did? The first thing Trump did was buy him a newspaper. That's mm-hmm. what that Truth Social is. He bought a newspaper so that he could get his word out. That's why we, on African Perspective, we're getting our
word out. I'll say.
Damn yeah. about what they're doing. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about things from an African perspective. How does this affect you and your African self? Because you may not be in Africa, but Africa's in you. Stop playing. Every time you come in the room, everybody sees that you're black. Mm-hmm. And even if you're light black, they see that you're black. You mm-hmm. can be dark black, then you're black. Because white folks have an image of us of not being as smart as them because mm-hmm. we don't have as much as them. But mm-hmm. what we do have is integrity. The one thing these mega people have is they have no integrity. They'll look at you and lie and then put their hand on their so-called Bible and ask God to forgive them. After they, you know, do whatever they're going to do, but they never want to talk about the shortcomings in there, where the white girl comes in and shoots up a school with children in it. Mm. Oh, we ain't talking about that no, because that was white people doing something. But yet now you're going to talk about Breonna Taylor. You know, Dan, this was never about Breonna Taylor. It was always about that white cop who came in there and murdered her because he was going to murder somebody that day. It just happened to be her. And she should have never died. You know it and I know it. These are overzealous police officers because they emanate from slave catchers. We know where this comes from. But is that taught in school, Bob Ocean? Did they teach you anything about slavery? I mean, the real slavery. I'm not talking about roots and spitting in the water and, you know, crushing glass up in his ground beef. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the other slavery where they were trying to put the chains on your mind. Because you say every time you come on this show, I believe that we are more enslaved or chained than we were back then, because we're enslaved in the mind. Our minds are, and we need to take those back. And that's what this show does, a little bit at a time. Every mm-hmm. time we come on the air talking about Africa, we chip away at this racism, white supremacy that has permeated this country, this world, this globe. And I'm telling you, the global South, and I call it the global South, because that's what Brexit is. They are rising. They have risen.
Mm-hmm,
the only
mm-hmm.
reason we don't know it is because they won't show you. If you don't see it on CNN or MSNBC, it didn't exist. But the reality is, it has risen. I see Burkina Faso every day online. They're
right.
gold mines. They're building roads. Right. They're opening schools. They're building hospitals. Did you see any of that on CNN?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't seen none of it.
No.
I ain't seen none of it on Al Jazeera,
no.
to tell you the truth. So we have to get our own message out. And the people who are listening to this show, I appreciate you. And if I'm going to tell you why I appreciate you, not just because you're my brother, but because you're intelligent. Because you're intelligent. Because you have to be the gatekeeper as to what goes in your psyche. If you got all this foolishness in your mind, you twerking and you making the stallion and you all this foolishness, then that's what you're going to be, a damn fool.
Mm-hmm.
But you have chosen to listen to this radio show, and I appreciate each and every one of you who listen, because this radio show is always going to, you don't even have to call and ask what the topic is. We talk about the same damn thing every day.
Yeah, we're pretty consistent with that. That's how some people say, well, I don't need to listen. I know what they're talking about. But no, you need to listen because, yes, we're talking about independence. We're talking about self-determination. We're talking about liberation. And we're talking about sovereignty for us as a people. That's the constant theme of this program. And it's interwoven in with every discussion that we partake, because that's the mode and the attitude and the mindset that we need to have. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I could talk about a number of subjects. I'm not, you know, pretty sharp on a lot of stuff, but I mean, I can talk about something, but no, I choose. This program was designed for this. When it came up, the idea to have this program, you know, cause I was on radio in Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
WMCS. Well, first it was WMVP and then WMCS, cause they had the man show, and the brother who was the host, Brother Eric Vaughn, rest his soul. Good mm-hmm. brother, man. And he invited me on because I told him I was retired, you know. And so I was on the program periodically. Well, every Friday when I could come on the program, and I kind of provided a real hard perspective, because a lot of the people were into voting and into all kinds of shit like that, and that's not me, you know. And right. So I came from that perspective. So, you know, there were some other brothers on that program that had that kind of mindset to some degree as well. But anyway, you know, I knew that I would love to have a program like that, you know, and so it happened. The station was owned by Willie Davis, former Green Bay Packer, and he.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was all pro broadcasting out of Houston, and they eventually sent a brother from Houston, Don Rosette, to be the general manager of the radio station. And they were still doing talk radio. And they even came to, I remember being at a community gathering of us, and the people at the station came there and told the community that this is going to be a talk format radio station. I mean, people were happy with that because, you know, we already had a few music stations, but to have, you know, discussions and talk about things that are happening and happening in the community and worldwide, so forth. Yeah, we can deal with that. So anyway, Don Rosette, excuse me, Willie Davis, who owned the station, but he also had other people with him. And so these European Jews who are also on, I guess, the board, outvoted him. And February 14th, the program went off the air with Eric Von on. His program went off the air that morning. And for a good amount of time, there was silence. It was silence. And you know, in radio, there ain't supposed to be no silence, you know.
No.
And then when it came on, Elvis Presley music was playing continuously.
Get out of here.
Amen.
Get out of here.
Adding insult to the injury. Elvis Presley music was playing continuously until finally the radio format, which had changed to top 40, whatever the hell that is, music, and they took the station over. And then they told the community through a number of ways that this is what happened. And so the station went off, and some brothers and sisters in our community, we got together, and we, formed the station. Or at least the concept of it. I know myself, a couple others, we even bought some radio time on a Christian station just to broadcast, you know. And finally, it didn't happen. But WNOV, which was out of Chicago, WVON, the sister station here in Milwaukee, WNOV, owned by Gerald Jones, who just recently transitioned. You know, my brother Gerald Jones, yeah, he just recently transitioned. And they took up the talk format. You know, they took up the main show on Fridays and stuff like that. And I've even substituted on that station like I did on the other station. But, so, when the opportunity really came for me to do some broadcasting, I left Milwaukee that year, 2014, and had a part of 2014. And I was on Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
And Brother Ralph, who calls in, he heard me on Blog Talk Radio and introduced me to Brother Elliot. And we got on to Time for an Awakening, along with some other stations, Dr. William Rogers when he was alive, his program. I'm the only one that's been there since that time and still on it. And, you know, and it's provided, and I appreciate it very much. I appreciate this opportunity to present information to our community in this way. And we'll continue to do
Brother
so.
Brother Oshie, you said something a few minutes ago telling us the history of how we got to where we are now. And this is just the beginning. We're about to turn the page on this. And take this to the next level. But the point I liked what you said was they started playing Elvis music, and then a couple of us brothers got together.
Right.
And we got some talent on another station. And this is the theme of the show of this show right now is that a couple of us brothers need to get together. We know what's being done to us. We know what has been done to us.
Right.
But we are steering this ship right now. The one thing that Trump is coming after is black people. Everything's anti-black. Everything's anti-black. It may look like they're coming for the Mexicans and the immigrants, but they really ain't coming for that. That's just to get your vote, get these hillbillies to vote. But everything's anti-black. If you notice, they're trying to take Jackie Robinson out of the damn, off the internet, out the school books. Why aren't you taking them Jews out the book?
The Nazis. Huh? Taking them Nazis.
Why are you taking them Jews?
Yeah.
Why are you taking the Jews out of the book? Why are you taking the Germans out of the book? Why are you taking the French out of the book? There's a whole lot of people that the United States has tried to conquer, because everywhere they go, they want to fight. And they only fight people that they can win with. Mm-hmm. But see, you can't beat this African. Because if you could beat us, Abba Oshu, wouldn't we already be gone? Right. I mean, if any other race of people have gone through 300 to 400 years of a slavery, a Jim Crow, a rat toads, wouldn't they be gone? Shouldn't we be gone now? Why are we still here? Because the God I serve says you don't run, white people, you don't run this. You are actually the people that you're fighting. You don't understand that. You are fighting a people. You are the mutation of the people that you're fighting.
And that's true.
and that is absolutely true. That has been proven. So, but the point I'm making is you're making us believe that you're something that you're not. You are not that big, powerful. America's job one. America first. First, well, who's second? Who's that? What are you talking about? You can't exist without me. We built this. And that's where people get sideways with it. I built it so it's mine. Well, you know, I drive a car, but I didn't build it. Come on, that's that Adolf stuff where we built it and we belong here and we're Americans. Yeah. Okay. Well, you can, because by the way, I went to a, really quickly, I want someone else to get on. I went to a Dodger baseball game the other day, which was very exciting. End of the game. I mean, it was great. And the guy caught the ball at the last minute, saved the day, and they won the game. But they had the national anthem. Where you see all the Americans get up and put their hand over their heart. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, someone else, the American that they voted for is taking their Medicare away. Mm-hmm. And they're up there with their hand over their heart. Now, I didn't stand up. Mm-hmm. And I was with some folks, mm-hmm. black people. They all stood up and they looked at me. Mm-hmm. And I just sat there on my phone. Mm-hmm. Listening. I've always done it. This is not nothing new. I didn't start this today.
Right.
And they look at, and I feel the eyes on me. I can feel them. They was looking. I'm 6'2", so you don't see me. And I'm feeling them on me. But the statement that I was making, and I felt so good about the statement that I was making, is that you can't move me. You can't make me do what you want me to do. But the other ones capitulated. They gave in. We're just standing up. But the children are seeing you do that. And I need these little white children and these little black children to go home and ask their mother, Mommy, why didn't that black man stand up? Why did he don't like America? You don't love Jesus? My son said to me one time when he was little, you don't do Christmas? You don't love Jesus? So my point is, that's what he said. It was so funny. But the point I'm making, Baba Oshi, if you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk. Mm-hmm. And it's not always fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was brought up to fit in. I was brought up to get along. I want to be like everybody else when I grew up. I needed acceptance like we all do.
Right.
But when you want to have acceptance into a burning house, acceptance into some demonic behavior, acceptance into a Diddy part. Oh, no Diddy. Okay, moving on. But my point is, you want to make sure you know where you're walking into. Stop following the crowd. No, you know something. You don't have to tell me right and wrong. I know something's wrong. I can tell. I might not know exactly what it is, but I can tell, man, this ain't right. Yeah. It's the same. Why is things so lopsided? Why does the playing field so uneven when it comes to American Africans? Why do we have to keep saying the first Don't let bother you. So, you know, he was the first black in this neighborhood. He was the first black. I don't want to hear that first bullshit stuff. That's not cool. That doesn't impress me. You know, you really speak English very well. Chuck, sit down and shut up. You don't even know the history of a Liberian. You sound stupid. But you are the leader of these people. You ain't my leader. You ain't my president, because I'm not in Africa right now. Mm-hmm. Africa's in me. Africa's in me. And everything I do is going to be towards that end. The African perspective.
I see.
And by the way, you know I can talk until New Year's Eve if we have to. But if someone else wants to speak,
right,
and
there,
have some opinions. I love hearing all listeners. I'm listening. I've been on the whole time listening to you get all in your feelings. That's what the young
call
people say.
Feelings,
you in your feelings. And you should be in your feelings.
Yeah. Because it is emotional. Because it's real. It and it's happening.
It's real.
You know, it's
real. Yes. Yeah. No. Get somebody up. Put me on mute, Bob. I'm going to stand
all right,
by.
Dear brother. Peace.
Yeah. All right. Yes, sir.
All right, Brother Irv. Appreciate you, man. Yeah. A few things. A few people are on the queue. And, of course, you know what to do when you are in the queue. Hit star twice and you can join this conversation. But, yeah, man. I really want us to really take a look at what this administration is doing. I read that piece by the sister on, in fact, my lady sent me a piece. It's talking about Substack and what Substack is all about. You know, she had a conversation with some sister from Chicago, and she said Substack was selected as an alternative to Facebook. Substack was selected as a term to Facebook and Instagram for folks that wanted to freely speak out against the current administration and the state of this country. They were being monitored, edited, and sometimes deleted or suspended from those other platforms because of how hard they were coming. But on Substack, as you can see, when you hear, or as I read to you, or when you go to Substack and you listen to the sister or to the brothers or other contributors that are on Substack, you know they're coming hard, as well as they should, you know, because hopefully that some minds will be changed. But the reality is this: I don't think that's going to change. Just because your mind has changed, I don't think they're going to change. They're hell bent on it. What they're doing has been in the works for years. Has been in the works for years, and now they have an idiot that the Caucasians who are in the Trilateral Commission, the Caucasians who are in the Bilderbergers, the John Birch Society. There's so many other groups of Caucasians who trying to run the world and plan to run the world. You know, but let me say this. I know how evil they are. I know how vicious they are. You know, they will kill you. They will kill you. They've killed so many of our leaders. You know, And I'm surprised and happy that they have not been able, after 20 attempts to kill Ibrahim Traoré. In fact, I just saw something. I really need to look at it again. It was Paul Kagame of Rwanda saying that he supports Ibrahim Traoré. Now, I'm very suspicious now. Maybe he's had it. I don't know. I got to look at that again, because I'm pissed at Paul Kagame for what he did in the Democratic Republic of Congo, having Trump cut a deal. Yeah, I'm pissed. Oh, man, I was furious. Yeah. the only people or the only other governments that each government in or on the continent should be dealing with is governments that are within the continent and that will be supportive of whatever changes that are going to be made or done. Or the fact is that here this man has been running this country for years and now is not, now he sees that there's a benefit for his people as opposed to just ripping them off for himself and makes that change. Now, I think his ass should be gone, whoever that is, no doubt. But if he's steering his people in that direction, that's positive because that's the direction they definitely need to go to develop that unified continent of Africa, unified states of Africa, north, south, east, and west. And I'm talking about the north too, even those Arabs in the north. I read to you, Brother Baba Kilimanjaro, talking about the devastation of the Arab enslavement of African people and the taking of land of African people. You know, we're not a warring people. That is not us. That is not us. We're a very peaceful people. Oh, we can fight. There's no doubt about it. Physically, we can fight. But it's not who we are. So we need to look at our situation. Have the leadership sit down and look at our situation and implement a program for the masses of our people to gravitate to and to implement with timelines. I don't know how he's doing it in the Sahel, in Burkina Faso, and now in Mali and Niger. I don't know. Maybe hopefully in Senegal, maybe hopefully in Ghana. Hopefully, man, the biggest one, hopefully, would be Nigeria. Nigeria. Because Nigeria was the one that did not accept. They wanted to go slow with this coming together. You know? I think that was the Monrovia group of countries that did not want to get in the state and make independence of make independence from former colonizers and not to establish a neocolonialism on the continent. If I'm wrong, rescue me if I'm wrong. But, you know, the reason why I'm so adamant about a family, of course, is the fact that if we all understand that tomorrow's not promised, it's not promised, then everything that needs to be done must be done today. Must be done now. And for those who procrastinate, those who believe that, you know, something will get done, you know, just in time, you truly don't know who you're dealing with. And many of us who believe in an entity higher than ourselves, you know, and want to say that that entity will look at our situation and do something about it, some divine intervention, some divine intervention. I don't see it. I don't see it. Now, it says that if a mass of us come together and call on the name, prayers will be answered. I think we've done that many, many times. I don't know if prayers were answered. I don't know what they prayed for. But there's only one thing to truly pray for. That is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as a people. That's the only thing that we should be praying about. But that's not, prayer is not going to do it, family, and you know it. Work is going to do it. Serious work is going to do it. Dedication, commitment, sitting down, planning, drawing up, and then implementing and with timelines. This must be done by this time. Commitment. So hopefully you will understand the seriousness of our situation. I really do. I hope we'll understand. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Give us a call. There were so many of you guys in the queue, and I said it before, maybe you just don't want to talk about something. But of course I do. You know, I said this is a yo show. So if there's something else that you want to talk about aside from pretty much what I read and what I came on talking about, that's up to you. You know, it's always opportunity to talk about some things that pertain to us and maybe something lighthearted. I don't know. Maybe some athletics. I don't know. We can talk about anything. You know, I'm looking forward to Monday. And haven't had Baba Broody on in quite a while. He was supposed to, he was scheduled, but then he had to cancel. And you know, hopefully that doesn't happen. But if it does, it's so be it. We forge on. We move on. You know, Brother Irv, hey, you went back in. Come on back up in here, Irv.
Bob Oshie, I'm listening to you, man. And you're absolutely correct in what you're saying, man. I'm speechless, man. I'm just listening to what you're saying is so powerful. About our people, about what our purpose is, and what we need to be centered on as African people, as an African way, because there is such thing to me as an African way. I could be wrong on this, Bob. You make me straighten me out if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. I think there is such thing as an African way. I think African people have a different perspective on life. I don't think this capitalism that we live in this country and this racism, white supremacy, permeates it throughout Africa the way it does here. I think that they're so materialistic and so individualistic in this country, if that's a word. The individualism, it permeates everything. It's well, not a we thing.
Right,
because
there's in the history of Africa, and even in comedic history, you know, yes, you had the pharaoh or the king or, let me say, the top person. And if you look at the society, it has a pyramid. You have that top person. Then you have some advisors and so forth right under that. Then you have some other folks, generals and so forth. And then, of course, the masses at the bottom of those who make up within the society of various skills, you know. You know. So, but we never had a society where might made right. It was always right made right. And you were held to standards of righteousness. But in European society, which is a very warlike society, and I'm talking about all of them, all those countries that in European sense, all those countries where Caucasians are, they're very warlike, you know. And it's just how they developed. And so when they got the balls again to come out of that medieval age, that dark age, you know, their so-called Renaissance, their age of enlightenment and travel and so forth, and they went around the world claiming everybody's stuff in the name of, you know, they imposed their religion and theology on people that looked like them, you know, they took the people's land here and everywhere else. They didn't come to barter and trade, you know. No, they came to take. It was no doubt about it. They came to take. And they transformed, they literally transformed the world. And so now you, while you see these oligarchs go globally, because there's some in other parts of Europe and even in Russia, you know, people with huge amounts of money, huge amounts of finance. It's just to it's sickening and ridiculous. While you have people who are starving, who have nothing. When you have a small percentage of people who have so much at the expense of all others, you know, and see, we as Africans have a chance to do something about that by us coming together, because we're not going to build a society where a couple of people, or individuals or families get exceedingly wealthy at the expense of the majority, at the expense of the masses. That's not how and who we are. You know, we have all these resources, and we'll and with that, just like Saudi Arabia, you know, building the country of Abu Dhabi and Dubai and other United Arab Emirates, all these countries are exceedingly wealthy, but the fact is, they bring in people to work, because these people are so damn wealthy, they ain't working. They ain't doing a damn thing. The things that they built, the things that they have built, they financed it. They didn't build it. They financed it. Right. They brought in construction and designers, and architects from around the world to do what they have done, because they had so much disposable wealth.
Right.
You know, if you ever had a chance to look at I remember watching this piece online about the wealth of the Saudis. Not necessarily the Saudis, but the wealth of that region. Because you have many, the cars they have, all the luxuries they have. Cool.
Wow.
Cool. You know, I mean, I don't know what monies that the people who are from the Philippines, the neutered, people from Africa and other people who come there to work, how they are paid. I'm not sure. I have never seen something on that. I don't know if they put them in a situation where it's kind of slave labor, not to the point that they're not paying anything, but they sure in hell ain't living like the Saudis, okay? You know, they ain't living like that. That's right. For sure. You know. But by the same token, we have to develop a society where those who are in top management, yes, they're going to make more, but not so much so that those who are the workers, those who make it happen, those who work from day to day, you know, planting, harvesting, cultivating, all of those things, those who are building the roads, those who are building the plants, those who are building the schools, those who are building the ports, all of it. There's so much to be done, Irv. So much.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they should be paid fairly. You know? They should be paid fairly. That's the reality to that, man. We'll see. You know? I'm hoping that this cadre of leadership comes into the fold and when they meet, they understand that time is of the essence. Because number one, just like they don't want, the greatest fear of Caucasians is the unification of Africans.
Yes.
That's the greatest fear of Caucasians, the unification of Africans.
I see.
And once that happens, because it's going to happen, it has to happen. We cannot be perpetual, you know, doing this into this madness. So once that happens, it's over. It is over.
It's happening now.
Yeah. Yes, with the Sahel. Yes. But, it, you know, it's happening, and it needs to continue to happen. And right. And to the point that many of our people begin to see it and feel good about it and feel great about it, you know?
Right.
And join in right. on it no, and it, support it.
For some reason, people have it in their heads, maybe some of us, not all of us, that when this happens, the sky's going to crack, and we're just going to march down the street, and white folks going to lay down, and we're going to take our rightful place on the throne as we. Let's be perfectly clear. That's a fantasy. The reality is we are chipping away at this. Every show that you do, it's chipping away at it. Every time we speak the word Africa, white people tremble. Because if enough of us start to speak the word, then the white folks will be so uncomfortable. And I'm talking about the white people who are anti-black. Let's be clear about Oshie. We're fighting a system.
Right.
We're fighting a system of racism, white supremacy.
That's right.
I'm not going to run out here and smack. Come on now. We're not going to smack the first white person we see because we're sitting down eating at the food court. We're not going to do that. That's not fighting our battle. The battle is in the mind. The battle is the system. You fight a system with a system. They don't say the people of racism, white supremacy. They say the system of racism, white supremacy.
Yeah.
So, you know, taking out Trump doesn't stop this.
No,
this,
oh, no. This fight not at all.
We have. No. Mm-mm. No. Let me have to change the mind. Go ahead, bro.
No,
ahead.
Let me get Jay in here. He's been waiting for a minute. Yeah, he ain't got that much time. Let me get Jay up in here. Hey, brother, how you doing, Jay? Jay, what's happening?
Yo, Oshie and Herb, what's going on, man? How y'all brothers doing?
We're doing well. What about you, man? You been okay?
I'm hanging in there, man. Mm-hmm. I got a hot minute to check this show out.
Okay.
So I said, man,
let me
see how y'all brothers are doing.
Good, we're doing well. Thank you. I appreciate it, man. I always appreciate you
tuning in and
contributing. Good. No doubt. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's it, man. Go ahead and do your thing, man. I'm just listening, all right?
All right, Jay. Listen, you have a good day. Hope to hear you on Friday. Baba Baruti will be my guest on Monday, man, so don't waste that
time.
Oh,
well, I'm definitely going to have to... Had to make sure I put some time out for that. All
for
right.
Sure. All right.
I'm glad you told me.
Okay, brother. Peace.
All right. Peace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We only got a few more minutes. So I'll let my brother Irv, if you want to say some closing remarks.
Always want to make some closing remarks, Baba Oshie, because I am a cheerleader for the liberation, the self-determination, and the sovereignty of and liberation of black people. I'm a cheerleader for that. And I will never stop saying it. I will never say that we have won. We have won. And anytime you hear white people wanting to have a conversation or I try to convince you that there's not that there's no racism in this country, because I've heard people say this on television. This is not a racist country. You're talking about a country that started, it came from slavery, because that's all I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the Jewish Holocaust. I'm talking about the American African Holocaust, you know, the carpet that is laid across this Atlantic Ocean from the bones of my people that you travel on every day on your Carnival cruise ships that you don't own. So let's keep it. Come on now, tell the truth.
Okay.
So no, we've already won. We're winning. And the fear, the biggest fear, you know, like I know, is that we're going to do to them what they've done to us. Ashe?
Yeah, Ashe. But that's not us. That's not who we are. All right, Brother Irv. Appreciate you, man. All right. Bro. Peace.
Thank you.
Love you, brother. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, we end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Enjoy this day. Hope to see you on Friday. And once again, next week, Monday, Baba Barudi will be my guest. Always looking forward to that, that discussion. Trying to get an idea where we at. You know, and I know this is a slow process. We need to speed it up. So, Shemhotep. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi 48 means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will. I ain't lying, y'all. Y'all know it. We will be victorious.
Shemhotep.
That's right. Shemhotep.
Shemhotep.
Right. That's right. Abibi 48 means our victorious destiny. We will be victorious. Family, bless y'all. Take care and hope to see you on Friday. Peace.
That's right.